Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Pledged to Serve. We have now changed our format, and we are no longer called to serve because we have enhanced our platform, and we are pledging. We are allowing those who have served, who have given of themselves, not just the military, but of any era whatsoever, to become a part of our show. And we have some wonderful, wonderful guests today. And I'm going to introduce my co-host today, Miss Deidra Davis. Hi, sweetie pie. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing today, Miss Daisy? You doing all right?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
That's the voice.
Thank you. And I think you are going to do a little bio about our guest.
Tell us
a little bit about. Okay, so I'm going to turn this over to you right now. And I'm excited. So here we go. Let's go. Let's go.
Yes, I don't know how little I can do this bio. This is just amazing. Our guest tonight is Mr. Clarence Davis, and he is affectionately known as Tiger to his friends and his family. He is a veteran of the United States Air Force, and he attended college at, I'm trying to get my eyes together, you all. He attended college at Morgan State College and university, where he received his bachelor's degree in political science and a master's of arts degree in history and social science. While he was attending college, Clarence, or Tiger as I will call him, served as a civil rights organizer for the Congress of Racial Equality, CORE, as they have it, and it seems like there were so many different organizations that he was involved in, and I am going to actually go to some of the professional organizations that he was involved in. He served as the Director of Veterans Affairs at Cadenceville Community College and as a Director of Madden Vet Center. Thank you. Thank you. Where he provided socio-psychological therapy for veterans, combat veterans, and I think that is just fantastic. Additionally, he served as a national faculty for the VA outreach program. And I tell you what, this just, it goes on and on. One thing I do want to mention is that Mr. Clarence Davis was elected to the House of Delegates of the Maryland General Assembly, where he held several leadership positions prior to your retirement in December 2006. So I could probably tell our audience so much more, but I think that I will turn it over, sir, to you so that you can tell us about yourself, because your bio is very long and so rich, but I am going to turn it over to you. I'm excited to have you on the show tonight. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Tiger Davis.
All right. I don't know whether you're my cousin, Demetra Davis, or not, but hello. And it's a pleasure being here. Both of you are related to include our producer, Sister Beverly Black. First of all, you know, I've been inspired. This project that we're going to discuss tonight, because, you know, I've been involved in history and the service of African Americans for a long time. But tonight, I asked a good friend of mine, we've become good friends over the past 4 to 5 years, Honorable Joseph J. DiGuardi. He's a former congressman from Westchester, New York. He was a member of the Republican Party. And he became very good friends with Mickey Leland, who was the head of the Congressional Black Caucus at that particular time. And Joe worked with a guy by the name of Dr. Ramsey, one of the great educators out of New York, who had asked Joe to take a look at the absence of any Medal of Honor recipients in the African-American community from World War I and World War II. And Joe DiGuardi took up the mission, and he had to look back in over 35 years. And so one of the things I thought I needed to do, since we were going to be talking about that, is to invite Joe, because Joe has been my inspiration for the last 5 years. What happened is, you know, we every September we have the Congressional Black Caucus Veterans Brain Trust, and we have distinguished people come in and discuss issues relative to African Americans and defense of the nation. This guy came in by the name of J.J. DiGuardi from an organization called Truth in Government, and he began to talk about Dory Miller. I had worked on Dory Miller back in the 60s and the 70s, but I had given up on it because I knew the Navy was just so recalcitrant, and they would not allow anything to move forward with regards to Dory Miller. But I was inspired by Joseph J. DiGuardi. And then I picked up the banner. I don't know whether Joe is on the line right now.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
all
hey,
right.
Joe.
I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening to everything, Clarence.
Well, look, Joe, I want you to meet my very good friend, Daisy. I call her Miss
Hello.
Daisy.
Great.
Her show, and then she has her co-host, Demetra Davis, my namesake. And so I thought, since we're going to be on here together, Joe, why don't you go back and talk about what happened with World War One and World War Two,
sure.
Recipients of the Medal of Honor. Give us a little bit of history.
There's got to be a Davis in my family someplace because, I tell you, I fell in love with black Americans when I got elected to Congress and found out that the city of Mount Vernon, New York, was in my district, and a black historian came to me one day in 19 after I got elected, and believe me, it was not easy for me to get elected in this district because people hang on to these labels. Forget about Republican. Forget about Democrat. Are you doing good things for people, all people? That's my life. I've been educated by the Jesuit priests for 8 years. They are the Marines of the Catholic Church. And when I hang on to an issue, I don't give up. As you know, David, Tiger, you know that you met me by accident at that annual convention of the Congressional Black Caucus. And I remember you coming up to me afterwards and telling me, it's amazing how you just showed up talking about Mickey Leland and all these black American professors and whatnot and how you got educated by them in your congressional district. But, you know, it was a natural for me because I was born and raised in the Bronx. My parents were poor immigrants from Italy coming here to get a job in 1929, believe it or not. I'm their oldest son. My dad was born in a place right next to Naples, Italy.
Joe, I need you to pivot to
go ahead.
World War
I.
Okay.
Yeah, World War I. Okay. Well, a black historian came to visit me, Dr. Leroy Ramsey, and he says, Joe, I had a very large, in my district, a very large African-American population starting in Westchester County, the lower part, right over the Bronx. That was city of Mount Vernon. But it went up to Peekskill, and other places. And as I said many times to you, Tiger, it was Mickey Leland that opened my eyes that he said, your district was like mine. I came from Houston, people in America, and the poorest. That's where the Bush family comes out of. And that's exactly where you come from, Joe, Westchester County. Same thing, surrounded by the Hudson River on one side and the Long Island Sound on the other. But this black historian came to me and said, Joe, I've written so many letters, and I had our governor of New York State, Cuomo, write a letter to every one of the Democrat and Republican elected officials in Congress at the time, talking about this issue. Why don't we have a Medal of Honor for a black American in World War One or World War Two? And he says, Joe, did you know that 1,550,000 African Americans served World War One and World War Two, and not one got our nation's highest military award, although dozens were recommended for their bravery by their commanding officers? I says, no. And I said, by the way, I'm a certified public accountant, and those numbers don't add up. How could that be that we have 1,550,000 and not one? Well, obviously, it was racism, and that's what segregation was all about. And it was started by Woodrow Wilson in 1913. Entire nation was segregated. Many black Americans lost their estates. They had earned a lot of money. They saved it. This is like the beginning of the 20th century. And I had so many people writing me after they saw what I was doing to be an activist on this. I couldn't believe how many black Americans lost their family fortunes because of segregation in World War One and World War Two. So I kind of dedicated myself to this. I said, my parents were proud to be Americans. They came here with nothing, no education. They couldn't speak the language. My father only spoke Albanian and Italian. And this was 1929. I said, God must have put me here for a reason. And I'm now going to leave what I thought was my major issue because I'm the first certified public accountant ever elected to the U.S. Congress. And my major issue was to save the next generation of America from the national debt. And you see what's coming up now, no compromise at all on the debt ceiling.
All right,
and
but we want to get to the Medal of Honor, Joe.
Yeah. I'm there.
Come on,
listen. I'm always there. But now, I started my own crusade.
Strollers.
Well, that's how I met you, Tiger. I started a crusade, and it got me, and you didn't know. I didn't know Ron Onstad. You knew I'm Ron. You know, you are a product of the military. I'm not. I got drafted in 1963 and served 6 months in Fort Dix, but I did, and then I had to stay in the reserves. But you are, you know, your coming together with me was a real godlike thing because you know things that I didn't know, and I had a lot of struggling going on in the Congress at the time. But one of the things I did, because when you're born like me in the Bronx and you have parents like mine who were hungry and they said, you know, you got to work to get everything. And my father always said, Joe, think big but work hard. And this issue came to me out of no place from Dr. Ramsey, and I find out that this was one of the biggest racial egregious violations of all time, that not one African-American, one black American got our nation's highest award. So I started working on it. And that was in 1976 when I introduced a bill with Mickey Leland for two people. One was a guy from New York State, Sergeant Henry Johnson, World War I. The other one was Dory Miller from World War II, Pearl Harbor. And I kept banging away at this thing like you can't believe. And finally, I met good people like Tiger Davis and so many others, and I'm still working on it. I started a movement up in Peekskill, New York, where there are many African Americans. That name may ring a bell to you. Peekskill was on the Hudson. That's where the great President Abe Lincoln stopped on his way to Chicago, going to give an inaugural speech. But the point is that I haven't stopped for now over 35 years, and I know I'm responsible because it's on the record for 9 Medals of Honor. 2 directly and 7 indirectly, because I had to take on Secretary of Defense Carlucci in 1987, when he declared no. I've checked with the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force and whatnot, and we're not going to open up the statute of limitations, even though you sent me this bill with over 150 signatures. I said, well, I'm not going to give up. And you got to now reverse that decision. And I told him to his face. And he said, well, you better come to visit me because I see you know President Reagan. And now his Secretary of State, Baker,
is listen,
informing.
The bottom line, Joe, is that you were successful in getting 3 black Congressional Medal of Honor for World War One.
There was nobody from World War One until I got started. And then we got Corporal Stowers in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then we got from Saratoga, New York, that was Henry Johnson. So I know
right.
I'm responsible for both. But that wasn't easy. It took 20 more years after I put that bill in. And thank God I knew at that point our president, but I didn't know him as president. I knew him as the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee because I'm a human rights activist. My father was an Albanian, and Albanians were being persecuted left and right, just like the blacks were. And I decided that I was going to hang on to this thing, and I did. So I then realized that there was a movement to start changing things because some people in the Pentagon got intimidated by the fact that I got so much press against them for not having a Medal of Honor for black war heroes from World War II. They didn't even do anything for World War One. I was the one who had to go to people like the great senator, who died. What was it? I'm trying to remember his name right now. There's so many people. The point is that I intimidated them. Just like, you had your idea with shock and awe to get so many people writing in, and that's what's happening right now. I did it on my own. I just went on the press.
Right,
I went on TV shows and everywhere. Go ahead.
All right, let's kind of move forward a little bit. Okay, after World War One, then you worked on World War Two, and ultimately Clinton, I think it was President Clinton, authorized Congressional Medal of Honor for 6 soldiers to include, because I think it was Shaw University did the research on them, right? But they
The Navy omitted
two people who should have seriously been considered for the Congressional Medal of Honor. One was Dory Miller.
Right.
Everybody knew about Dory Miller because of Pearl Harbor. But then there was another one by the name of Charles Jackson French. Now, I'm going to tell you
about
Charles
Jackson. Him through you. I didn't know him before. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Charles Jackson French, his destroyer or boat was torpedoed. And all of the sailors wounded in the water, what have you, he got a raft together, put wounded soldiers on the raft. And when the raft started drifting toward the Japanese or the enemy lines, he tied a rope around himself, jumped into the water with the sharks, and swam out to sea away from Japanese lines. He should have been considered for the Medal of Honor as well. But let's talk about what Dory Miller did. Tell us what Dory Miller did, Joe.
Well, Dory Miller was so incredible. First of all, he was at the right place, at, you might say at the wrong time, because, you know, there's nothing right about being involved in the battle at that time in World War II in Japan, you know, in the whole Pacific, and how many people died in that. But he served on a ship at that point. And at that point, there were no enlisted men, no officers that were black Americans. They were called messmen. In other words, they were there to serve the white officers who were, you know, came out of ROTC and Lord knows where else. But when they got on these ships, they had big medals and whatnot. And they were there to do that. So he was a guy from Waco, Texas, and he was a pretty big guy, because when you hear what he did, you'd have to say, my God, he had to be that big to do it. Because it's not just the fact that he saw his commanding officer dying, and he had to move him away from where the action was, because the Japanese, you can imagine that morning how these Japanese planes were coming in, just tearing apart these ships. And you could see it today if you go to Pearl Harbor. But the point is, he saw his commanding officer dying. He moved him away from where, you know, the machine gun was that somebody was on, and that person couldn't handle it the right way or was killed. And Dory Miller, who was not trained on a 50-millimeter gun, that's a pretty big gun, grabbed it, and as he said one time, well, I was used to guns. In fact, it was so easy for me to get on that gun and press that trigger and shoot those Japanese MiGs. Now, we never found out, and this is what the Navy uses as an excuse, that they didn't know whether he shot down one, two, three, or four, but it doesn't matter, because we made the case, and this
is
Clarence
Davis.
Well,
let me come in. Excuse me, gentlemen, from the engineering booth, on behalf of your host and this wonderful dissertation, I have been directed, and excuse my intrusion, but I have been directed to a historical perspective, and for the sake of this wide world audience, I would like to bring it into the focus that is given at the Dory Miller Medal of Honor.com website, if you will allow me.
Sure,
please.
Thank you. In 1851, William Cooper Mill, in his dissertation, Services of Colored Americans in the Wars of 1776 and 1812, stated, "There are those who will ask, why make a parade of military service of colored Americans?" He then criticized the combination of circumstances which have veiled from the public eye a narration of those military services of colored which are generally conceded as passports to honorable and lasting notice of Americans.
90 years later, on December 7, 1941, Japan attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor, inflicting devastating damage to the United States' war capabilities. When the bombers hit the West Virginia, its skipper was mortally wounded. Amid a hail of bullets and bombs, mess attendant Jarvis Dory Miller moved his captain to a place of safety. He then made several trips below deck, risking his life in toxic oil and water to rescue a number of sailors. He later manned an abandoned deck gun and took on the Japanese Air Force. The life-saving deeds of Miller are the equal of the valor of those who received the Medal of Honor at Pearl Harbor. According to the latest research, Miller was named in the after-action report by his ship's surviving officer, and eventually he received the Navy Cross. However, the information regarding his valor was not included on his Navy Cross citation, as is the practice in awarding honors such as his. Nearly 2 years later, on November 24, 1943, Miller was killed when his ship, Liscombe Bay, was sunk by a Japanese submarine during the Battle of Gilbert Island. It was public knowledge that Secretary of the Navy William Franklin Knox and others within the Department of Navy, to include the commandant of the Marines, did not look favorably upon the service of African Americans. Secretary Knox was able to deter the advancement of African Americans in the U.S. Navy, preferring to keep African American sailors in the stewards branch, relegated to subservient roles. Major General Thomas Holcomb said African Americans had no right to serve as Marines. He then added, if it were a question of having a Marine Corps of 500 whites or 250,000 Negroes, I would rather have the whites. Given these attitudes, it is clearly understood why the Medal of Honor was not bestowed upon Dory Miller. During both World War I and World War II, African Americans were excluded from such honors. In recent years, the process has been amended to allow for several African-American recipients of the prestigious Medal of Honor. However, the United States Navy has resisted corrective action. You can support this endeavor by visiting the Dory Miller Medal of Honor.com website. That is the Dory, D-O-R-I-E, Miller, Medal of Honor, website.com. Thank you for your service, veterans, and those of you that have pledged to serve. And I am returning the microphone to you.
Well, thank you. You did a great service.
Thank you for getting us back on track, because Dory Miller is the issue. And we are committed from now to the end of my duration on this planet, I'm committed to getting Dory Miller that Congressional Medal of Honor. When I was a kid, you know, in all of our textbooks, you know, we had pictures of Dory Miller. We thought he had received the Congressional Medal of Honor. We never looked at the Navy from the perspective of the Navy being racist. But when we look back and understand history, we know that in 1941, Randolph threatened to march on Washington if the United States did not do something to bring about equal opportunity and treatment of blacks with regards to the defense industry, because contracts were let for blacks to not get jobs in the defense industry or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
FDR issued Executive Order 8802, which opened the door for blacks getting into the Air Corps, which became the Tuskegee Airmen. It also opened the door for blacks to get into the Marine Corps, which through the Montreport Marines. But now, when you look at the attitudes of the Navy and the Marines was part of the Navy, listen to what their commandant said. blacks had no right to serve as Marines. If it was a question of 500 whites or 250,000 Negroes, rather have the whites. Now, these were their attitudes, and there was no way they were going to give the just honors or awards to African Americans who distinguished themselves in combat like a Doran Miller or like a Charles Jackson French or like many other blacks in the Navy who distinguished themselves in combat despite the fact that they had to endure racism every day and they had to work in subservient roles. They still rose to the occasion. Yes, ma'am.
And excuse me, this is Beverly Black again. When you go down my row, I have to come in from the engineering booth, and it is an honor to let everyone know on this line that the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., is listening, and he was led, trained, and mentored by the late, great Medgar Wiley Evers. Now, Medgar Wiley Evers had a mission to change racial discrimination in America by his upbringing and his tenure in the military. He enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1943, and he was only 17 years old. And when he came back to America after fighting and running on the front lines of World War II, what did America do for Medgar? America assassinated Medgar.
Wow. Yep.
And so...
Well, what you're talking about, and I think what, and I'm glad Dr. Jackson brought that up, but look, the missing pages of American history is the extraordinary saga of African Americans and on this mainland in North America. The missing pages of African American history is the extraordinary services of African Americans in defense of the nation. I don't care whether we go back to the Revolutionary War and those 9,000 blacks who fought for America or the 9,000 who fought for the British. African people have always been in the forefront of defending this nation. In fact, if you look at it and look at the truth of the matter, not only did we defend this nation, and we could not even enjoy the benefits of what we fought, the freedom we fought for, but also if you look at the culture of this country, the entire culture of this country is built around African Americans. Country and Western music came from African Americans. Our jazz comes from African Americans. If you look at STEM, science and technology, from Benjamin Banneker to George Washington Carver, Latimer, Granville, all, and in between, you know, the science and technology. African Americans was right in the middle of that. Whether you look at Thomas Edison or whether you look at Alexander Graham Bell, there's African Americans there. The auto industry, African Americans were there, STEM. If you look at the question of a democracy, this would not be a democracy if black people had not been fighting to make it a democracy, to make it open to all people or what have you. And so this has always been the struggle, you know, of African Americans. Yep. And we've played a significant role in all aspects of America.
Tiger, well said. And it's happening today in Tennessee. Look at these two gentlemen from Tennessee, the two Justins, what they're doing. They stopped everything.
You're talking about Ben Hooks. You're talking about Senator Brooke of Massachusetts. You're talking about Harold Washington of Chicago. Sure. You're talking about Perrin Mitchell. You're talking about all of those blacks who headed the NAACP down south who were murdered or assassinated. They were all former military personnel who had come home. Look at we're going to celebrate Executive Order 9981, the 75th anniversary on July 26th of this year. But how did that come about? Woodward. Remember Woodward, the young black who was picked up by the police in South Carolina. His eye, he was blinded by the police. Truman was so upset about that. that this propelled him to do something in the area of civil rights. African Americans have always been in the forefront of all of these, always been the black military personnel, because somehow when you serve in the military, you come home believing, hey, I'm just as good as anybody. I have done my due, and I'm going to benefit from what I fought for.
Beverly.
Professor Jackson brought up the fact of Medgar Evers. Yes, Medgar Evers was a World War II veteran. Almost everybody you can think of who participated in the movement or the struggle.
Beverly.
It was black soldiers who
I
put up the double B.
Something to add to the program.
Yes, is that Jesse Jackson Jr.?
Joseph Jackson Jr.
That is Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., the leader of the Tougaloo Nine.
Oh, okay. All right, Joseph Jackson Jr. All right, good. Now I got it right. I wrote it down, so I ain't going to forget that. In fact, hopefully you and I are going to stand to hook up later on or something.
I would just like to add, really, I am thoroughly enjoying this the program with regards to the lack of the recognition of African Americans who served in the military. And I take my hat off to both of you brothers, because it reminds me, and I'm going to say this, that I'm saying it with sadness, really, and a little bit of anger of our country, because I only found out about Navy veteran master a diver in the Navy by the name of Carl Brashear, and I only found out about him by buying the movie Men of Honor, and knowing that man really did not retire and chose to have one of his legs cut off and placed with a prosthesis, and then went on and achieved his greatness to become the first Master Chief Navy diver. And I just want to add that, because I only found out about his historic challenges there in the Navy. He defied all of the rules, but I only found out about that, I would say, maybe at least 7 or 8 years ago from a movie.
Well, look. Take a look at David Dinkins, the mayor of New York.
Yep.
He was one of the first black Marines. Look at Governor Wilder of Virginia. You know, he tells the story of him getting a medal for capturing some North Vietnamese soldiers. He said they was hungry and they gave themselves up to him. And he ended up getting a medal for it. He was a hero. Who were the heroes in Korea? What about the good congressman from New York? He just retired a couple of years ago. Chairman of Ways and Means. It's slipping me right now. But he's one of the truly great ones. His unit, the 503rd Artillery, took more casualties in Korea than anybody else. Come home, and then eventually replace Adam Clayton Powell in the United States Congress. Look, blacks in the military have always come home and did their best in civilian endeavors to move America towards a more perfect union. But they've never been properly recognized by our own community. And that is a shame. That's a shame. But we need everybody now. Everybody get on board. with Dory Miller.
Absolutely.
Dory Miller has been a hero for this nation for over 80 years. But for whatever reason, the Navy has never given him his just due. They have always resisted any efforts to secure recognition or proper award or upgrade of his award. We have our
Don't forget where that attitude started. The Secretary of Navy at that time was such a racist. Frank Knox was such a racist, was well recognized, that when he heard about this hero, you know, early in World War II, he says, we're not going to give the first medal. This is too early in the war to give a black man a medal. And it took the admiral himself to go to call Dory Miller to his ship, and that was Admiral Nimitz, because he heard the hue and cry about how this man was being used to raise war bonds and everything. They used Dory Miller to fund the war before he died, and he went to the ship to give him the second highest award, the Navy, which is a big deal too. And that was the Navy Cross, but not big enough. And that's why we're still working on it, okay?
All right, but now, look, to the audience,
for
listening in, everybody can take ownership of this. You can write a letter. Go to the website. We even have a form letter on the website. Write a letter to the Secretary of Navy, Toro. Write a letter to the Secretary of Defense, Lord Austin. The letters, if you go to the website, it will give you some directions on them. Every American can participate in correcting this oversight, or, well, let's call it what it is, this racist oversight on America. Let's get this thing done once and for all. We need everybody to get on board now.
Yep.
I'm just curious, just for, you know, anybody really that's here on the panel, things that the reason why there's so much resistance to really doing the right thing, because, of course, it just seems to be something that's just blatantly the right thing to do. Do you think there's so much resistance because to do it would show that in the past it was an act of racism? Do you think to overturn it would be a confirmation that they were just racist?
You're absolutely correct on that.
Yeah, no one wants to admit that they were racist. That's the issue. No one wants to admit they were racist, you know, at that time. And the Navy is the worst offender when it comes to that. I know. I've been fighting them left and right. I had 180 signatures from the members of Congress, and I sent it to the Secretary of Defense at that time, Carlucci. And finally, I get a call from the White House saying, Joe, you're making all kinds of trouble here. You know, would you, you know, withdraw these letters? I says, no. This has been an egregious example of racism, and it's got to change. And then I was invited to his office. I said, I'm not coming without Mickey Leland. He was the chairman of the Black Caucus at the time. And he died 2 years later, by the way, delivering food and medicine to Ethiopia. This guy's a hero, too. He deserves a lot of recognition, Mickey Leland. But the point is, I went to the office with Mickey Leland, and we laid it down. We're not going to undo these letters. And finally, he says, all right, we need a compromise. I said, well, what's your compromise? He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take money from the Defense Department budget, and I'm going to give it to a black university to understand why there were no medals of honor for World War I and World War II, and we're going to ask them to look at everyone who's gotten the second highest award in the Army and the Navy and whatnot, and why didn't they get the first? Well, that's what I created. And then when they finally announced it, they came up with seven new World War II Army people, but they forgot World War I. They didn't get into Dory Miller. It was like it was not necessary. And I was really mad at that, and I made, you know, a lot of noise on it. And as you know, Tiger, I had major black journalists writing about this, like Bill Raspberry.
Yeah.
He had an article in the Washington Post, 1986. We had two medals, but no. We had two heroes, but no medals. That's what he did. We got to keep doing this. We got to get it back into the press. It's like it slipped away.
Absolutely. What we need
I would like to ask our engineer if our other guest has made it into the green room, and to give you gentlemen a chance to catch your breath. I'm enjoying this so much, and that's why I have not had anything to say, because my ears are just perked. You know, I'm just listening, and this is awesome. Anyone from the Shades of Darkness entered yet?
Their line is open.
Okay. May I allow them to come on at this time to give you guys just a few minutes to kind of catch your breath, go take a little sip, a little something. And we'll get right back to where we were.
Okay.
Okay, so at this point, I would like to introduce, we call her Cookie, Miss Cookie, from the Sounds. I'm just so excited right now. I can't even think of what I just said. Cookie, come on the line, Miss Sweetie, please.
Shades of
say
Darkness,
hello.
Welcome.
Thank you, Bev.
410 area code, your line is open. Is this Shades of Darkness? Hello, Shades of Darkness, are you there? All right, well, we're going to go to a quick commercial music break, and we'll come. Hello?
I wonder what happened. Let's move forward.
You're going back to the gentleman?
Let's go back to my guest. I mean, this is just so good here.
Let's think about Dory Miller, why he is a hero. You know, when the commanding officer who replaced the one who died on the ship, I forget what it was, the West, I forget the name
West
of the ship, but the point is, when that happened, someone said, you know, you got to abandon ship because the ship was beginning to list. In other words, it was looking like it was going to flip over, but down in Pearl Harbor, it was kind of shallow. But what was happening is that the water was mixing up with the fuel, and there were many sailors down two or three decks below that were not getting out. But, you know, it wasn't our friend, our good friend, Dory Miller, who was abandoning ship. He wouldn't abandon his soldiers. He went down and one by one swam 400 yards, bringing them up and going back and forth. People don't know this. They remember people saying, well, how many Japanese MiGs did he shoot down? Some said one, some said four. But that's not what's holding up this medal, because you can't prove it. There was such action that day. It was difficult for anybody to know what was going on. But we do know, because it's in the after-action report, that he didn't abandon ship. He went down, and one by one, he brought up these people that were dying from asphyxiation because the water was mixing with the soil as the boat the gasoline or whatever it was that was fueling that boat, and frankly no one knows how many, but maybe a dozen. So he saved lives, but that was not in the after action report from the first time when his captain died. The second guy, you know, in fact he did mention it, but it wasn't announced. In fact, a lot of the stuff about Dory Miller was put into what you call secrecy. It was secret plan. Secret. They didn't want it published. Let's put it that way. And it's only in the last maybe 5 years that it's been released. So there's a lot of stuff that's gone on that deprived people from knowing who Dory Miller really was and who he and his heroics was so incredible, and for him to be forgotten is what motivates me every day to do something. I'm going to be 83 this September, and I'm not giving up on this until I'm dead, I can assure you.
All right. Well, Joe, you've been working on it for more than 35 years. And what
right.
we need now is for everyone who is within the within our voice to take individual action, write a letter, not only to your congressman, but let's flood the Secretary of the Navy's office. Go to the website, and the website is the Dory Miller Medal of Honor. .com, the Dory Miller Medal of Honor. .com. All the information you need to support this initiative is on that website. We can't sit back and wait for other people to do this thing for us. We've got
yes.
to put our shoulder to the grind and get everybody involved. And we have to educate the public, educate our families, get our family members to send letters, get our churches to send letters. If we belong to a sorority or a social organization, let's get them involved. Let's get everybody involved. This is our battle. It's been my battle all my life from the time I was born in 1942 on up. You know, I've known who Dory Miller was. But let's get him his just due. My father, and that's my father's generation, they were among the greatest generations this country has ever produced. Now, in the broader society, call it the greatest generation. Well, there is a greater generation, and that is my father's generation, because when they talk about that great generation, they don't really include us. But look, we have a great generation. Spike Lee has written a story about the 92nd Infantry Division. We need to take a look at the 761st Tank Battalion, which was under Patton, one of the greatest military units this country has ever had. Patton sent them out thinking that they were going to be killed. They ended up liberating 50 towns. They stayed
right.
in combat longer than anybody else. It is time that our community began to look at the extraordinary sacrifices and services of African Americans. Not only the men, but the women as well, because there's a book coming out in June on Tuskegee nurses. I mean, you know, look, we need to know a little bit more about our history. For instance, in World War I, our soldiers had to fight in French uniform, and they were cared for by French medical personnel because they would not allow black women to be in the Army Nursing Corps. The young ladies from Howard University who graduated nursing school attempted to join the United States Army so that they could go to Europe to take care of the black soldiers. They would not allow them in. But yet they could take those same nurses and send them up to the West Virginia coal mines to take care of people during that flu pandemic of 1918. You see, we need to understand our own history, and we've got to stop sitting back saying that, well, they don't put this in the history. No, of course they don't put it in the history book. That is your history. That is your responsibility. Now, you have everyone that hears, that's listening tonight, you've got a chance to do something about this. Become a committee of one and begin to wage war against the United States Navy and get this job done. We can't do it alone, but we're asking for your help. Please step forward.
And I would like to step forward at this time. Excuse me, I'd like to step forward at this time. I want to interject with our host, Daisy Brown. Is your guest ready? And we'll give the men a break.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Hang tight, gentlemen, while I open. Hang tight, gentlemen. This is right information, and we're going to open the lines and welcome Shades of Darkness to pledge to serve the premier show hosted by Daisy Brown and Demetra Davis. Continue.
Hi, hi, how is everyone doing today?
All right.
You're great.
Yes.
Hi. Yeah, we are Shades of Darkness, and we are so honored to be able to perform at the Lyric on April the 22nd. So I hope everyone has their ticket to come on out and join us.
Tell us who's going to be there with you.
Well, we have the Manhattans. We have Bloodstone. We have the Soft Tones. We have Tim Trees. We have Baltimore-owned Jakar, Baltimore-owned Style, and Shades of Darkness.
Yay.
And Eddie Holmes.
Eddie Holman.
Yes, yes. And we are so excited.
Now, this show is being hosted by a friend of mine, and Rashid. He's been in the industry for quite a while. I've worked with him with several other promoters. And this show is one that I'm really looking forward to because it's like pre-celebration of my 71st birthday. Yay!
Wow, wow. Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I do want to say, while we're talking about birthdays, the Honorable Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson will be celebrating his birthday on tomorrow. And he will be 86 years young. So I just wanted to take a moment to pause and say happy birthday, my friend.
Happy birthday. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen of Diamond, a.k.a. Miss Daisy Brown. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. I'm just so happy that you're calling. I'm just happy that you're here with us. Cookie, so do you want to tell us a little bit about your group, and then we're going to go back with the gentleman?
Sure. Well, I had a vision. My name is Cookie. I'm one of Shades of Darkness, and I had a vision to start a group, and I started back in November. So we have been together almost a year, and we do a lot of oldie but goodie shows, and we do a little skits with our shows. And we just love to perform and love the reaction from the people. So I'm just so honored that we're being able to be on this show. It's three young ladies, myself, Poochie, and Crystal, and we have a young man named Nolan, and we just fit. We put God first. We just love to perform and have fun. So I hope all of you guys come out to this show on the 22nd, and so we can give you guys a good show.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on with us, and I hope that you'll continue to listen to the remainder of this show because it's so informative, and I'm honored to have such distinguished guests all here on one platform. You know, this is just awesome. So
yeah,
we're going to turn it back to our co-host so that she can go back and say a couple words if she'd like. Otherwise, Tiger is back in your hands.
Okay, thanks again for having us.
My namesake, Demetra. Come on, Demetra.
That's fantastic. So I appreciate all the information, and definitely will be directing people to the website so that they can do what needs to be done to get this Medal of Honor where it needs to be gotten, because Dory Miller definitely deserves this. So I appreciate all of this information this evening, and thank you all so much for the passion that you have that has definitely been spread, I believe, to our audience. But, you know, I feel it, and I appreciate it. Thank you for the education as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing what else you all might have to say. But I want to tell you, thank you for being on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And just want to invite you all back anytime. So know that it's a standing invitation.
Well, I'd like to say one thing before we can't forget.
I want to mention a couple of things before we go. So, you see that website? We've got a little section on there where you can donate because right now, up to this particular point, Joe's foundation has put in several thousand dollars to this particular effort because one of the things we have to do is to educate the public. And once the public is educated, you know, we can really build that groundswell then. But we've got to get out to, you know, fully educate the public. And we do need funding to get that done. But regardless of the lack of funding or whatever, we will persevere and move forward. But we just can't keep relying solely on one or two persons to come up with the thousands of dollars that's necessary to do this project because it costs to have an 800 number. It costs to have this website domain, so on and so forth. So we appreciate any help anyone can give to us. And Joe, and then I'm going to let you get the last word, Joe, but I want to get this in. You know, back in the late 50s, there was a gentleman by the name of William K. Smith. He became a Vietnam vet. And after Vietnam, he committed his life to building a monument to honor the black recipients of the Congressional Medal of Honor. His name is Sergeant Wilson K. Smith. There is a monument in Delaware. It's on the website. It's up in Wilmington, Delaware, in Brandywine Park. And he spent 25 years of blood, sweat, and tears to build that monument. And soon after the monument was built, then he passed away. One of the speakers at that monument was a senator by the name of Joseph Biden. You know, so we know he understands the role of African Americans in defending this nation. But if you ever enter Wilmington, take a look at that monument. But we still have our work to do because we need to fill up that monument with all of the names that should be there, and beginning with Dory Miller and Charles
Frank.
And Joe, I'm
let me just add to that, Tiger, because
you've been here longer.
Let me just add a minute because, you know, Joe Biden would not be president without the support of the African-American community. You remember South Carolina. You remember Claiborne. He went in there and was nominated. And now he's going to run again for sure. He was the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I testified in front of him several times. He's a good man. There's no reason why he shouldn't override all the nonsense going on with the secretary of this and secretary of that. And now that we have an African-American Secretary of Defense, you know, there's no reason why this shouldn't happen. And we just got to make sure people know that this is something that has been passed by for many years, and people like you and me, Tiger, are keeping it alive, and I'm so happy to be part of this. Believe me.
All right. Daisy? Ms. Daisy?
I don't even know what time it is. I'm so excited here.
A couple other things you need to know. Look, one of the most momentous events in the United States history is President Truman signing Executive Order 9981, which brought to an end
segregation
in the United States Armed Forces, which then dismantled segregation in civilian society. Now, I know we give credit to Thurgood Marshall and all of them for Brown versus Board of Education, but it happened in the military first, and everything starts there. And it was our soldiers who fought Korea in World War II who made the difference and laid the groundwork for that. So whenever we think of veterans, our fathers and our uncles from World War II and Korea, let's think about all the things that they did, because we're standing on their shoulders. This would not be the America that it is if it were not for them. And so I want to thank my father and my uncles.
Absolutely.
Well, yes, and looking at the clock, we have run out of time, but I am just, we've got to continue this. This is not what they say, we're just beginning. So, Tiger, we've got to get you right. We've got to get you back here real, real soon. And we've got to get these ballots out, these letters out. We've got to continue to entice and encourage people to support your efforts, because they're very, very significant and crucial to the betterment of our country and our people. We need to continue this segment at a later time to come back and see how much progress we've made, and to see what else we can do to assist in the efforts to bring this to fruition. I'm just excited. And Dee Dee, what is it that you would like to add at this time?
I agree with you. You know, this needs to happen. It's not something that just needs to continue being talked about. This needs to happen. And I feel like we need all hands on deck. It's got to happen. So, you know, I appreciate the passion, like I said, and I'm ready to ignite passion to the people that I know, so that we can make this something that definitely is a thing that we bring to pass, because this needs to be written down in the history books. It needs to take place. So I appreciate you all making this a mission, and then making it a mission for all of us.
I also want to say, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson, I appreciate you coming on with us, wishing you a happy, happy birthday. If you would like a few closing remarks, please do so. I would like to thank our engineer, I don't know what to call. You know what? I don't know what title to give Beverly, because she's right there, our right hand.
Yes,
you know, thank you so much for your love and support, and just, you know, being there for us. And if you want to have some closing remarks, please feel free. And then we would like our guests to close out, of course, ending with Tiger, my dear, dear, dear friend, Davis. And, of course, Mr. I will probably never pronounce your last name correctly, but I'm going to tell you, you're my new friend. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you. It's easy to pronounce. It's Dio Guardi.
Any friend of
Tiger's
is a friend of mine.
Dio Guardi means in Italian, God watches. And I've always felt that was a good name for me to bring to Congress.
I love
now
that.
You.
Thank you.
Well, you want me to close out, Daisy? Ms. Daisy, look, I want to thank Joe again for the work he did in bringing this up again back in 2018, because had it not been for Joe and the inspiration that some of us received from Joe, we would not be sitting here talking about this right now. And Joe, I want to say thank you again. And look, I'm going to keep my shoulder to the grind, Joe, and I'm going to keep I'm going to keep right on pushing, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
And thank you, Daisy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Beverly and Demetra. And good to meet you, Dr. Joseph Jr.
And thank all of you. Pledge to Serve will be back on April 24th, 2023. on the same Tribe Family channel. Thank you all for tuning in. Happy birthday, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson, Jr. We bid you all a good night.
Thank you. Good night to you.
Good night.
Yes, this is America, my home, sweet home. God bless America.
God bless America. It's the make God thy gold refine. something like this. Listen here.
Oh, beautiful far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties.
Wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He crowned thy son. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood.
Tribe Family Channel.